Your words affect every area of your life. They can lift you up or they can destroy you.
Pastor Joanne Ramsey of Speak the Word Ministry.
So how can you be victorious in all your circumstances? By speaking blessings over yourself and blessings over others instead of cursing those around you.
Pastor Joe is a servant of the Lord and commissioned to train soldiers of Jesus Christ on how to wield the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God.
Saints, when you believe His strength is made perfect in your weakness, suddenly the things that used to hold you back will lose their power over you.
Friend, would you like to have Pastor Joe speak in person at your church, Bible study, or conference? If so, simply contact us. Our phone number is 855-505-2297. Our email address is pastorjoe@speaktheWordMinistry.net.
Today's program is furnished by Speak the Word Ministries.
You know, we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that as long as we're on this earth and until Jesus returns, you and I have an enemy, and his name is Satan.
Speak the word.
It's time to speak the word with author, Bible teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Joanne Ramsey. Speak the Word Ministries is called to teach God's word and encourage the body of believers.
Speak the word.
Speak the word.
We invite you to visit us online at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe, continuing her message titled, One More Night with the Frogs.
Speak the word.
When you read God's word, it actually speaking to you. That's the Lord. That's God communicating with you through his word. And that word is for you. And so you make that word alive when you recognize that God is speaking to you. So in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. I would suggest that you change some of these words and put, God will generously provide all I need. Then I will always have everything I need and plenty left over to share with others. I hope you know what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, personalize God's word. He wants you to make his word personal because he's talking to you through his word. Begin to confess that those that love the Lord lacks for no good thing. We've talked about that before. In Psalms 34:9, in the NIV, it says, fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. In other words, he says, no good thing. You know, when my husband passed away in 2002, I was ministering at the North Carolina State Men's Prison. My husband had gone over some things that one afternoon he just came home and he went over some things that I might would need to do in case he passed away first. Unfortunately, he passed away about 3 months later. I thought after this happened that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, knows everything and wanted him to let me know all this stuff. I did as he had asked me to do. However, the enemy did not stop with my husband. He moved in and began to continue to take all that I had. He took my home shortly before his death. However, Satan did not take the most valuable thing that I had, and that is my faith. My faith. Satan cannot take your faith, brothers and sisters. He can't take your faith away from you. You have to see that. According to God's word, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. And I happened to bring along some mustard seed with me today. And I thought, you know, I hadn't gotten these out in a long time. And I actually had forgotten myself, you know, exactly how small they are. But it tells us here in Matthew 17:20, and again in Luke 17:6, that the word says that you can move mountains with just a little bit of faith. And these verses are highlighting the power of even a small amount of faith. And, you know, the Bible says it's the smallest seed there is. But yet, when it's planted and it grows into a huge tree, even, you know, where the birds come and nest. But you would not think so with a little bitty seed like that. But God is telling to you, brothers and sisters, that all you need to move that mountain or those circumstances or situation out of your way, out of your path, whether it's sickness in your body or financial, whatever it is. He said, all you need is just a mustard seed of faith. Matthew 17:20, Jesus was telling his disciples that if they had the faith of a mustard seed, he says, nothing will be impossible for you. You know, I want you to know that I did have that faith. I had the faith the size of a mustard seed. And as the Lord revealed things to me, I began to confess them. And I wish I had time to just continue on. But one thing I want you to keep in mind, remember, confessing is only speaking. And it's very, very important that you continue to speak God's word. And also, we were talking about finances, but it tells us in Matthew 17:20, and again in Luke 17:6, it said, the word says you can move the mountains with just a little bit of faith. God said, according to God's word, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed. And that's what I was, you know, referring to, is just a little tiny seed. But yet when it grows really large, it becomes really huge, and even birds, you know, nest in it, according to the word. In other words, these verses, what they're doing is they're highlighting the power of even just a tiny bit of faith. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus was telling his disciples, if they had the faith of a mustard seed, he said, nothing will be impossible for you. Well, I still had my faith. I might not have had more than a mustard seed at that time when I lost everything, but I still had my faith. You know, Satan didn't steal that. I had my faith, and as the Lord revealed things to me, like I said, I began to confess them. I kept notes, as I was just showing you, in books on what God revealed to me, and I still have them. Remember, confessing is only speaking. That's all it is. Confessing is only speaking and coming into agreement with God's word. And the word tells us that Jesus Christ himself is the high priest over our confessions. It says in Hebrews 3:1 in the English Standard Version, it says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confessions. You know, brothers and sisters, Pharaoh, you know, we were talking about this earlier, Pharaoh could have had the frogs gone right then and there. Pharaoh could have had those frogs gone that very night. He didn't have to spend one more night with those wet, slimy frogs in his bed and in his food and in his clothes. It was Pharaoh's decision. I want you to understand this. It was Pharaoh's decision to spend another night with the frogs, to wait until tomorrow. It was not God's decision. Now, you can make a decision too. You know, you're listening today. You can make a decision too. You can confess that today I will put my trust in God's word, for it never fails. God's word never fails. He said not one word has ever hit the ground. In Luke 1:37, he says his word has never failed. And don't just stop there. As I said before, print out these verses and put them on your bathroom mirror, on your desk, on your refrigerator. I had them on my refrigerator. I had them on my bathroom mirror. I mean, I have them everywhere, and I still post things everywhere. You post these things, and then you remind yourself what the Bible says about your health and about your finances every day. You begin to believe and trust God for increase and for victory, and know that your blessings are not dependent on the world's economy. That's one thing that we really have to get a revelation of. A lot of people think that their increase and victory is dependent on their job or the banks or whatever somebody else can do. But we have to understand that we have to know that God's blessings are not dependent on the world's economy. That is so important to recognize that God is your source and God only. It's not God's desire that his children do without. It is the exact opposite. God wants to bless you. And he tells you this in 3 John 1:2. It also says in Psalms 35:27 that God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk bad about prosperity and this and that and the other. I know that there are a lot of messages being taught on prosperity and just all grace, you know, and we do have grace, you know, in the New Testament. God has blessed us with grace, and he wants us to prosper us. But, you know, we have to understand that prosper and prospering us, the Lord wasn't only talking about prospering us in finances. God was talking about prospering us in all of our ways, is what it said in 3 John 1:2. You know, that we would be healthy and that we would prosper in all that we do, even as our soul prospers. You know, so He was wanting us, our soul is where our feelings and emotions and making our decisions and stuff like that. And so He was wanting to bless us in everything. And so He says He takes good pleasure in doing this. And not only does He want to bless you, but He wants the world, you know, not only does God want to bless me and you, He wants the world to know about it. He wants the world to see about His goodness and how He blesses us. And He tells us this in Psalms 31:19 in the New Living Translation. He says, "How great is the goodness that you have stored up for those who fear you." He says, "You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before watching the world." Thank you, Jesus. Remember, it was not God who made Pharaoh wait another day. That was Pharaoh's decision. Don't you ever forget that. And it is your decision, brothers and sisters, it is your decision to take God at His word, because you have to understand that God's word works. It works every time, not just sometimes. As a matter of fact, I'm a walking witness and testimony to the goodness of God, and know that God's word, it really works, you know, and not one of them, according to His word, is going to fail. And so, like I said, Moses said to Pharaoh, he said, "You set the time. Tell me when you want me to pray for your officials and your people." Moses says, "And then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs." He said, "They will remain only in the Nile River." And of course, in verse 10, it says, "Do it tomorrow." That was Pharaoh's answer. That's what he told Moses. So you have to know, friends, that nothing is hopeless with God. You know, and what, like I've said before, according to Luke 18:27, what is impossible with men is possible with God. And you don't have to wait until tomorrow. You don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to wait 1 minute longer. It says, "For He is the God that calls those things that be not." He said, "Even the dead things." He said, "Even the dead things." Praise the Lord. He tells us this in Romans 4:17. And this is what the scriptures mean when God told Abraham, He said, "I have made you a father of many nations." Abraham believed that even though he was 100 years old and Sarah was in her 90s, he still believed. And verse 20 says that Abraham never doubted that God would do what He promised. He never stopped believing. In fact, it says he grew stronger in faith and just praised God. And verse 21 says, Abraham felt sure that God was able to do what He promised. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. You know, we have to be there. We have to do that. And he says that in Romans 4:18, it said, "Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping." You know, there were so many times, brothers and sisters, that I thought that way back years ago, and sometimes even now too, but especially then. You know, you're all alone, you're believing God to do certain things, and He's telling you this, and you're not seeing any results, you know. And, you know, every day, you know, I'm getting up, I'm going to work, I'm praying, I'm reading the Word, I'm trusting God. And I didn't see a lot of results. Then I remembered, when I think back, that He was making changes. They were in small changes. I just didn't recognize them at first. But He was making small changes over the years, over the last 20 years or whatever, 15, 20 years, that He has done just tremendous, tremendous things in my life and my children's lives. And it's just hard, it's hard to even imagine. But it said here that even though he had no reason to hope, it said Abraham kept hoping, and Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of many nations. And as I said before, I kept believing too that I would get back what Satan stole from me, and I have. And you can too. No matter what it looks like in the natural, you just have to be like Abraham. You've got to keep on believing And like I said before, I'm a walking witness to God's faithfulness. Abraham was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And as I said earlier, and that is where we have to be. We have to be fully convinced, like Abraham did in Romans 4, in spite of what things look like in the natural. In the natural, things always, you know, can look really bad. But you have to be convinced. You have to be convinced that our God, the God that you serve, is more than able to do what he said he would do. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Hallelujah. Remember that God has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, according to Hebrews 13:8. But also, God says in Malachi, I think it's in Malachi 3, that he changes not. So he hasn't changed. You know, I know that there's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant that we have now with the grace and stuff that we didn't have in the old covenant. But God is still the same God. I mean, it's different since Jesus has come and Jesus has died and gave his life to set us free. So we have salvation. We have things that they didn't have in the old covenant. These were things that they were looking forward to that they never got to see. But we did, you know. And you also have to know that God is available. He's always available to help you, to free you from any kind of stronghold. Our Father, he never sleeps and he doesn't slumber. As I was reading in a message, and I think it was Isaiah 65:1, where God was saying that he was waiting for the people to call upon him, but nobody ever called upon him and nobody ever asked him for advice. You know, in other words, he was saying that they were just out there doing things on their own and they weren't asking God for anything. And he says, he who keeps you will not slumber. When we look to the Lord, we have confidence in the fact that God does not sleep. And the idea is repeated here in Psalms 121:4, says God's watchful eye is always open, looking with love and care, he said, upon his people. You know, we have to understand one thing if we don't understand anything else. Satan is a bully. And the only thing a bully responds to is brute force. And we have to understand that the Holy Spirit will provide that brute force. He will provide what we need. Remember what it tells us in Matthew 11:12. It says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent, he says, take it by force. When God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from bondage in Egypt, God promised to show his wonders as confirmation of Moses' authority. Brothers and sisters, God has made promises to you. He's made promises to me, and he's also given us the authority to receive these promises. We have been given power and authority here on this earth to be able to speak to our situations, be able to speak to our mountains. All his promises, he says, all his promises are in him, yes and amen, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20. Saints, you need to realize that whatever that thing is in your life that you thought was dead and you thought was hopeless, it's not hopeless. Whether it's a situation with your health or your finances, as I said before, I want you to get a revelation today that God can resurrect anything, and there is nothing that God can't resurrect. As a matter of fact, we witnessed that. But that's the way he does it. He does it with his word. And let me repeat that. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that God cannot resurrect. You know, even in the New Testament, when Jesus was walking around, there were people that he spoke to. Lazarus was one, and a young girl was another, and another lady's son that had died. They were all brought back to life. He resurrected the dead. And I know people personally that have, through the help of the Holy Spirit and Jesus living in them, it wasn't them doing it, it was Jesus in them raising people back from the dead. So it is possible, you know. And like I said, it's not them doing it. It's not me doing it. It's him in me. It's him in them that's doing it. I don't take any credit for that. And so I want you to get that revelation. And the way he does it, like I said, he does it with his word. And there is nothing, and I mean nothing, as I said before, that God cannot resurrect. I mean, it may be there's you need your marriage resurrected. Maybe you need a relationship with your children resurrected. That, you know, there's things that need to be resurrected that are not necessarily somebody that's died. You know, you can think a situation is dead on your job or in your marriage or your relationship or with your children. But nothing's impossible for God, and that's the whole point. That's what I was talking about with Pharaoh and with Abraham. He believed, in spite of everything. It says he, even though there was no reason for him to hope, there was no reason. Maybe you don't feel like today that there's a reason for you to hope, but there is a reason for you to hope, because it's not hopeless. You're not hopeless. You are born again, child of God, spirit filled. And he loves you, and he watches over you night and day. As I've said before, he never sleeps and he never slumbers, but he's watching over you all the time. So I want you to remember that. Also know that it's not over. It's not over, brothers and sisters, until God says it's over. Hallelujah. I hope you're hearing me. By taking God's word and speaking it over your circumstances, or directing his word at your mountain. You know, and Jesus showed us how to do this. You know, when we read the Word of God, you know, it demonstrates to us, it gives us instructions on how to do things. And so in Mark 11:23, Jesus was showing us how we can speak to our mountain, you know. It was the same way that when he used the fig tree as an example. He said when he spoke to the fig tree, Jesus curses the fig tree and it dries up. And then he says to his disciples, have faith in God. And that's what I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you that no matter what your situation looks like, regardless of what it is, your health, your finances, it is not hopeless. It is not hopeless. God can resurrect it. But I want you to know that speaking is your mouth. You've got to activate your faith through your mouth. It is speaking is how you're going to bring those dead things back to life or speak death over them. Some things you want to speak death over, and there are some things you want to bring back to life. By speaking and agreeing with his word, praise the Lord, you have to stop. Please let's remember this. You have to stop letting the devil keep sickness on your body, and you have to stop him from stealing your money. You're going to have to use your tongue and cut him into ribbons. And that's what you're going to do. When you start speaking God's word, you're going to cut him into ribbons. And, you know, and don't forget that. And I pray today that the words that the Lord has spoken through me through the Holy Spirit, that he has spoken something that uplifted you and encouraged you.
Speak the word to your body. Speak the word to
been listening to author, Bible teacher, and evangelist Pastor Joanne Ramsey on today's edition of Speak the Word. Speak the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Generous contributions from listeners like you enable us to continue bringing you this program each day. Learn how you can connect and support Speak the Word Ministries on the web at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. Pastor Joe will be back in just a moment. But first, we'd love to tell you about Pastor Joe's book titled, The Weapons of a Warrior, A Soldier's Handbook for Spiritual Warfare. When you're in a faith battle, are you prepared to stand with God at all costs? Pastor Joe lays out a step-by-step plan that every believer can use to overcome opposition, including important measures to see your full potential in Christ, and how to stand strong in turbulent times. Just ask for a copy of The Weapons of a Warrior, A Soldier's Handbook for Spiritual Warfare by Pastor Joanne Ramsey when you send a gift of any amount to Speak the Word Ministry. Here's how you can request your copy. Our ministry telephone number is 855-505-2297. That's 855-505-2297. Or you can order the book by sending a contribution in the mail to Speak the Word Ministry, Box 9175, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23450. Again, Box 9175, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23450. You can also email Pastor Joe directly at Pastor Joe, that's J-O, at speakthewordministry.net. That's speakthewordministry.net. And now, here's Pastor Joe with the closing prayer.
Father, I thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you're still doing. I thank you for all the plans that you have for all of us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us. But you, Lord, have plans to give us hope and a future. Lord, we know from based on your word that Pharaoh did not have to wait another day for those wet, slimy frogs to leave his house, that you were willing to take them away right then, and all he had to do was ask. But because of his stubbornness, the frog stayed. Oh, Lord, we have been stubborn too and not trusting you to fight our battles for us. Please forgive us. Help us to understand that it is never too late for you to help us. Help us, oh, Lord, to trust in your word more and know that your word tells us how you have given us everything we need to stand up against our enemy, Satan. That the answer is in our mouths. Our miracle is in coming into agreement with your word and exercising our authority by speaking what you say. I make a decision today to put my faith in your word, the word that has never failed, and the one who has never let me down, and no longer put my faith in worldly things. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen.
From Pastor Joe and all of us at Speak the Word Ministries, we're glad you've joined us today. Once again, thanks for listening. Join us next time on Speak the Word.
Speak the word to every circumstance. That mountain can't stand against the word of God, against the word.